gueule de bois. Toute la nuit j'avais aidé mon père. Dans le feu j'ai remis du bois. Dans la cheminée il n'y avait pas son père. C'était la fille du Père Noël. J'étais le fils du Père Fouettard. Elle s'appelait Marie Noël. Je m'appelais Jean Balthazar. Je prends la fille dans mes bras. Elle me dit mais non Balthazar, ne fais donc pas le fier à bras. Je suis tombé là par hasard. Toute la nuit j'avais fouetté à tour de bras les gens méchants. Toute la nuit, elle avait donné des cadeaux à tous les enfants. C'était la fille du Père Noël, j'étais le fils du Père Fouettard. Elle s'appelait Marie Noël, je m'appelais Jean Balthazar. Descendu chez moi, comme je ne pouvais prendre son cœur, je l'ai remis sur le palier. C'était la fille du Père Noël, j'étais le fils du Père Fouettard. Et elle m'a dit d'une voix très celle, bye bye, oh, à sa Balthazar. C'était la fille du Père Noël, j'étais le fils du Père Fouettard. Elle s'appelait Marie Noël, je m'appelais Jean Balthazar.
Santa Isa.
We'll be right back. I'll say goodbye.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle.
Thank you. How'd he make himself small, man? And how'd he get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, man, he had some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, he used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more to Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man.
Tom, I'm Billy Holiday, and I always listen to this man.
Today on Wreck This Mess, we offer you directions via GPS as we take to the road. This is edition number 1216 dedicated to movement. Going someplace sublime and satisfying.
Thank you. sen erdesin. Knokel kaysen erdesin. Silge bulup ik erdesin. Silge buldu mese gehab.
Y'all ain't from around here, are you? Where you boys trying to get to? The swamp. Alright? down this road right here. You go down this road here. You go down a ways and you come up home. And you come to some crossroads. Keep going.
In the month of July 1947, having saved about $50 from old veteran benefits, I was ready to go to the West Coast. My friend Remy Bonsoeur had written me a letter from San Francisco saying I should come and ship out with him on an around-the-world liner. He swore he could get me into the engine room. I wrote back and said I'd be satisfied with any old freighter so long as I could take a few long Pacific trips and come back with enough money to support myself in my aunt's house while I finished my book. He said he had a shack in Mill City, and I would have all the time in the world to write there while we went through the rigmarole of getting the ship. He was living with a girl called Leanne. He said she was a marvelous cook and everything would jump. Remy was an old prep school friend, a Frenchman brought up in Paris and a really mad guy. I didn't know how mad at this time. So he expected me to arrive in 10 days. My aunt was all in accord with my trip to the West. She said it would do me good. I'd been working so hard all winter and staying in too much. She didn't even complain when I told her I'd have to hitchhike some. All she wanted was for me to come back in one piece. So leaving my big half manuscript sitting on top of my desk and folding back my comfortable home sheets for the last time one morning, I left with my canvas bag in which a few fundamental things were packed and took off for the Pacific Ocean with the $50 in my pocket. I'd been poring over maps of the United States in Patterson for months, even reading books about the pioneers and savoring names like Platt and Cimarron and so on. And on the roadmap was one long red line called Route 6 that led from the tip of Cape Cod clear to Ely, Nevada, and there dipped down to Los Angeles. I'll just stay on 6 all the way to Ely, I said to myself, and confidently started. To get to 6, I had to go up to Bear Mountain, filled with dreams of what I'd do in Chicago, in Denver, and then finally in San Fran. I took the 7th Avenue subway to the end of the line at 242nd Street, and there took a trolley to Yonkers. In downtown Yonkers, I transferred to an ongoing trolley and went to the city limits on the east bank of the Hudson River. If you drop a rose in the Hudson, at its mysterious source in the Adirondacks, think of all the places it journeys by as it goes out to sea forever. Think of that wonderful Hudson Valley. I started hitching up the thing. 5 scattered rides took me to the desired Bear Mountain Fridge, where Route 6 arched in from New England. It began to rain in torrents when I was let off there. It was mountainous. Route 6 came over the river, wound round a traffic circle, and disappeared into the wilderness. Not only was there no traffic, but the rain came down in buckets and I had no shelter. I had to run under some pines to take cover. This did no good. I began crying and swearing and socking myself on the head for being such a damn fool. I was 40 miles north of New York. All the way up, I'd been worried about the fact that on this, my big opening day, I was only moving north instead of the so longed for west. Now I was stuck on my northernmost hang-up. I ran a quarter mile to an abandoned, cute, English-style filling station and stood under the dripping eaves. High up over my head, the great hairy Bear Mountain sent down thunderclaps that put the fear of God in me. All I could see was smoky trees and dismal wilderness rising to the skies. What the hell am I doing up here? I cursed. I cried for Chicago. Even now, they're all having a big time. They're doing this. I'm not there. When will I get there? And so on. Finally, a car stopped at the empty filling station. A man and 2 women in it wanted to study a map. I stepped right up and gestured in the rain. They consulted. I looked like a maniac, of course, with my hair wet, my shoes sopping. My shoes, damn fool that I am, were Mexican huaraches, plant like sieves, not fit for the rainy night of America and the raw road night. But the people let me in and rode me north to Newburgh, which I accepted as a better alternative than being trapped in the Bear Mountain wilderness all night. Besides, said the man, there's no traffic passes through 6. If you want to go to Chicago, you'd do better going across the Holland Tunnel in New York and head for Pittsburgh. and I knew he was right. It was my dream that screwed up. The stupid hearthside idea that it would be wonderful to follow one great red line across America instead of trying various roads and routes. In Newburgh, it had stopped raining. I walked down to the river and had to ride back to New York in a bus with a delegation of school teachers coming back from a weekend in the mountains. Chatter, chatter, blah, blah, and me swearing all the time, and the money I'd wasted, and telling myself I wanted to go west, and here I've been all day, and into the night, going up and down, north and south, like something that can't get started. And I swore I'd be in Chicago tomorrow, and made sure of that, taking a bus to Chicago, spending most of my money, and didn't give a damn, just as long as I'd be in Chicago tomorrow. Chapter 3. It was an ordinary bus trip, with crying babies and hot sun, and country folk getting on at one penn town after another, until we got on the plain of Ohio and really rolled, up by Ashtabula and straight across Indiana in the night. I arrived in Chi quite early in the morning, got a room at the Y, and went to bed with very few dollars in my pocket. I dug Chicago after a good day's sleep. The wind from Lake Michigan, bop at the loop, long walks around South Halstead and to North Clark,